This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, I want to play what Fesco said earlier today on his show. Patrick Mahomes is coming on to the show in about 15 minutes. We talked about some of the struggles and some of the deep passes and shots down the field. We talk about the win on Sunday against the Broncos, and we look ahead to the Bills game coming up this Sunday. So we had the mayor of Kansas City on last Wednesday and asked him about the stadiums, and he's pretty emphatic that the stadiums are going to be downtown. Let me play for you guys what Fesco had to say earlier today on his show regarding the future, and this was more centered around what the Royals are going to do and not the Chiefs. I at least want you to keep that in mind while I play it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And I think from what the conversations I was having with a lot of people yesterday, this thing is going to move fast and it's going to move quickly. And we're going to know maybe by the winter meetings where the Royals are breaking ground on their new stadium. And I talked to multiple sources on this now, so I have it confirmed from two different folks about what's going on right now in Kansas City, if you will. And I use the air quotes Kansas City on this one, because from what I've been told, the Royals are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County.
Now, where would that location be?
Well, there are a couple locations that I'm hearing right now. There's a location right inside the 435 loop around Antioch, is what I've been told, is one location. And then the location that I think a lot of people are very fond of is 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus. And there, they
really?
already have five parking garages that exist.
Rob, have you heard the saying, whenever people are dating, are you looking for Mrs. Right or are you looking for Mrs. Right Now? Because those are two very different things to look for, right? Like, if you're looking for Mrs. Right Now, the qualities that you want are very different if you were looking for Mrs. Right. One thing that the Royals need to answer, and I think you deserve this answer if you live on the Missouri side, the Kansas side, or you are just a regular fan of the team. Do the Royals want a new stadium or a downtown stadium? Because those are two different things. Now, I understand that the downtown stadium would be a new stadium, but we agree what would be around the stadium, the feel of the stadium, all of those things would be drastically different. Like, from the moment John Sherman started to talk to us about this, it has always been pitched that they envision downtown baseball. I'm sorry, 119th and Knoll is not downtown baseball. They have sold us this entire time that we could do more and we want to be close to downtown. We want to be closer to the urban core. Like, they have sold us this for 3 years. Do the Royals just want a stadium that we're going to pay for? Because that's what I think the Chiefs want. I think the Chiefs have been kind of open in what they want. Now, I know they have spun it of how much they love Arrowhead and how much they want to preserve the history of it. I think all of us rational-minded individuals know that the Chiefs want the best deal. And they are going to take the best deal from whichever side gives it to them. It doesn't matter if it's the Jackson County side, the Johnson County side. If you got enough space and you got the money, the Chiefs will happily play their games there. That's not really what the Royals have communicated to us over the course of the last couple of years. And I believe that part of the frustration, and maybe this is just my own frustration as someone that lives in Jackson County, is I don't think the Royals have ever really communicated a plan to us and really sold it like they're passionate about it. Their plan for downtown and the Crossroads, it felt like it refreshed every single day. Well, we like this, but we don't like this. Well, this is just a rendering. No. Have a passionate vision about what you see as the future of the Royals and then go out there and sell it to people. Have you ever bought something from a salesman? Not because you really wanted it, but just they sold it to you in such a way and they believed. And you were like, you know what, man, here, I'll give you $5, $10. Sure. You know, I'm happy to support you. I've said this from the very beginning. I don't think that the people of Jackson County or Johnson County or any of us, I think you understand that if you want to have a professional sports team in your city, it's going to cost you something. That whatever stadium they build, I don't care if it's the Chiefs, Royals, whatever team, you are going to help pay for it in some capacity because that is just a cover charge for having a professional sports team. But the Royals tried to sell us a half-assed plan, and now that they have taken the defeat, they lost about as poorly as you could lose just 6 months ago. They're now, well, we like Washington Square, but wait, we might go here. How are the Royals doing the exact same thing again? Like, you didn't learn anything from the last ass whooping you just got. We just saw you get embarrassed back in April, and you're about to do the same thing again? Like, you didn't learn? That doesn't make any sense to me. You touched the stove and it was hot. You're now about to touch it again? Maybe I'm overreacting to this. Again, it's just one report, and I have no reason to not believe Bob Fesco, but doesn't this sound like they are doing the exact same thing? And now, instead of using Clay County against Jackson County, they're now using Kansas against them. They have been selling, they've sold us four different downtown stadiums in 2024. They sold us East Village. They sold us the Crossroads. They sold us Crown Center. And now Kansas is. You guys don't have focus groups. You guys don't talk to people about this. You guys don't have these things mapped out. They then tried to sell us the Star Build. They've sold four different Kansas City locations in 2024. That's tough. They've had more site proposals than Chiefs losses over the last year or so. You guys don't have your ducks in a row. You guys still aren't ready. It should be code silence from anybody in that camp, anybody in that circle until they're ready to go, until they have a plan. And I don't feel like the Royals, and this is the feeling, I don't feel the Royals are any closer than they were the day after they lost that vote. Can anybody tell me where the stadium is going to go? We've been doing this for 2 years. I would say we've been doing it even longer than this. The moment COVID was over, they've been selling us on a new stadium. And none of us still have a clue on where it's going to be. Is it going to be in North Kansas City? Is it going to be the Truman Sports Complex? Some of us are even questioning why they even need a new stadium. We just gave you all this money 15 years ago to go get another stadium. I cannot believe that the Royals are going to make what feels like all the same mistakes again with all of us. You guys just got pummeled at the voting box 6 months ago, and you still don't have a plan. You still don't seem organized. There's still leaks in your camp. You're still leaking this information. How are they going to go through this same process again? You guys don't see that we're tired of this? You don't see that your own paying fan base and customers are tired of this and simply just want you guys to make a decision and then tell us. And then we will decide whether we like that plan or not like that plan. But it has been so much back and forth and flip-flop this entire time. It makes no sense to me, Rob.
Is it possible? And I don't know this. Fesco is a much better reporter on this than me. He's a great journalist, the whole deal. But is it possible the Royals keep leaking out, floating out ideas? Because every single time they run into a problem, and the problem is because the public doesn't seem excited about any of the plans. Now, if you want to say it's chicken or egg, hey, they're not excited about the plan, they leak it out, the public's not excited, that's fine. But Washington Square Park got leaked out. No one was excited. The Crossroads one, no one was excited. The Star Building, no one excited. The only time we've been excited is the East Loop, and we know the power brokers weren't excited.
This is where I got to disagree with you just a little bit. The Royals have never really sold the vision of downtown baseball. They've sold the concept of downtown baseball.
And I would say
that's what I think is different. I think it's different when, now I know it's a little bit different, right? But you remember whenever they were selling the renovations back when they wanted the 3/8 of a cent sales tax. Man, that thing was incredible. And then that was the vision. Hey, look at Arrowhead or look at Kauffman. It's a little rinky dink. It's a little podunk. We got something great. You got to sell people on a vision. And it doesn't appear like they have a very clear vision. And it appears that there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen and a lot of people pushing and pulling. Think about how the Chiefs have kind of handled their business in regards to a new stadium. And think about how the Royals have handled their business. The Chiefs have done exactly what I want the Royals to do. We don't get these leaks every 2-3 weeks about what the Chiefs are going to do. No, this conversation is... it's 3 or 4 people that are in the loop about this conversation, and we will tell you information when it's time to. We don't need Fesco to tell you this. We don't need Sam McDowell to tell you this. We don't need Fox 4. When we got news, you'll know about it. That's not how the Royals have operated in this thing. Again, how many different downtown proposals have they sold you the concept of over the course of this year? Because they sold you the Star Building. They sold you McGee. Mm-hmm. They sold you Washington Square. They sold you the Crossroads. They sold you East Village. And they have poked holes in their own vision over the course of it. Well, we can't do that. It's too close. They've really hurt their cause when it comes. And that's why I asked the question. Do they want a downtown stadium or a new stadium? Those are two completely different concepts. If they just want a new stadium, build it wherever. You guys pay for it. Build it wherever. You want to put it here? Sure. It's a new stadium. People will go. But they have really tried to push this idea of downtown baseball and how it's the lifeblood for the Royals in the future and the sight lines. And they've sold this entire time. They're doing a really, really bad job at it. And you would just think after the voters, I mean, shot you down in April, you would think that you would have learned some lessons from that just a little bit ago. And it feels like they are about to repeat the exact same process, which... just makes absolutely no sense to me. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show in a little bit. We'll talk about their dramatic win on Sunday against the Broncos. We also will get ready for Sunday against the Bills. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's taken your Chiefs to the mountaintop 3 different times.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And he sits down with one show across the entire country for an exclusive one-on-one interview. Your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes on The Drive.
Every week we get a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a lot of things to talk to him about, so let's get to it. I would like to tell you guys that if you miss any part of this conversation, we will replay it in the 5 o'clock hour. And the 5 o'clock hour is going to be commercial-free. Yes, commercial-free 5 o'clock hour. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Chiefs, and I asked him the question first that all of us want to know. Man, how do you guys continue to do this each and every Sunday?
Man, it's just we just go out there and play football. I mean, obviously, it's been close games a lot this season, but that just speaks to the culture that we have here and the teammates that I have around me. I mean, it takes everybody, and I think that was the biggest thing you saw from this week is that we're going to fight to the very end.
It was kind of hard to avoid it, but I'm sure you saw a lot of the Broncos fan reaction. Did you get a chance to see any of that on social media this weekend?
I honestly haven't seen much of it. I'm sure they weren't too happy, though, so I might have to go check that out after this.
Yeah, I was just laughing about it because, you know, there's some Chiefs fans that just, like, hate John Elway and hate Peyton Manning for always beating their team, and I was thinking this weekend, like, there is a Broncos fan, like a kid right now, 11, 12 years old, and, like, you were their least favorite player because you always beat their team.
Yeah, I mean, I had certain guys like that growing up, too. You always want your team to win, and I try to go out there and have fun and do it the right way, but obviously it's going to upset some people when you beat their team a good amount.
Patrick, take us inside the locker room because I'm guessing that was as spirited as hype of just a complete total team effort that you've been a part of.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the biggest thing for me is I've never been a part of something like that. I mean, I've been a part of some walk-off wins and some big defensive stops and stuff like that, big field goals, but to have a field goal block, I mean, obviously – we trust those guys, and they go through their week and find ways to find weaknesses within the special teams. But that's just such a hard play to do. And so for a guy to make a big play in that moment to win the football game as a kind of a walk-off, it was something that I'll have for the rest of my career.
I was just going to ask you, where does that rank in terms of regular season wins? You guys have certainly had some great postseason wins. Maybe that win you guys had early in your career against the Ravens with the big pass play on fourth down. I'm just trying to think of what's an exciting regular season win that you think would even rival what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, like you said, that Ravens won, just because it was so early in my career. Maybe the Chargers one when Travis has the catch and breaks all the tackles in overtime and scores a touchdown. That one's up there. But definitely one of the bigger regular season wins as far as momentum swings and emotion swings and stuff like that. And so it was definitely a really cool moment, man. I mean, just to be a part of, and I think you saw by the celebration by everybody.
What is it about the Broncos? Is it just the fact that they are a division rival? It feels like you've just played them really tough for something happened. You know, you had a significant injury against the Broncos. Your first start was against Denver. Monday Night Football with the left-handed throw. You've just had so many of these moments in your career, and they normally seem to happen against Denver for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good franchise and a really good football team. I mean, they play hard the entire game. They're well coached. They got great players, and we always know it's going to be a challenge, especially in division and especially against the Broncos, because you know they want to beat us as much as we want to beat them. And so it's definitely always a challenge, and there's been some big moments in my career, but I'm glad that we were able to find a way to get a win in this one.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, we are coming up on a month of since the D-Hop trade. What have you learned most working with him over the course of the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think just the intelligence. I mean, he really is a football savant, man. He watches the little things. He really focuses on his craft, and that's what you want. I mean, not only on the football field, but in that room with all those receivers, is a veteran guy who's done it at a high level for a long time. And I think he's just going to keep getting more and more involved in the offense, and that's going to keep getting other guys open. We left some stuff out there, not just me and him, but just in general as the offense. This last week, and we got to be better at executing there, and they'll take our best this week against the Bills.
And you describing him, I hear a lot of the similarities in how you kind of approach football and how you see it. What's been the process like to kind of get him up to speed? Are you and him watching extra film? Are you guys working together? What is the process to get him acclimated to this offense since he joined midseason?
Yeah, it's just a little bit of all of it. I mean, he's been in the building, I mean, just as much as I have, just learning the offense, learning how we do things, learning how we coach things. And then learning how I see the game as well. And I try to do the same for him. And Whenever you get a guy mid-season like this, it's about getting him up to speed as fast as possible, and I think we've done a good job of that so far. But he'll continue to learn more and more each and every week, and I think that's a big thing for us as an offense going forward.
You mentioned a couple of missed throws from the last game. What's the throw when you went back and watched film? You're kind of like, ah, that's one I should have made.
Yeah, I think the one to Trav was probably the biggest one, just because the moment of the game, and then just he was open, so just getting the throw down a little bit and letting them get a chance to go up and catch it in the back of the end zone, it just puts our defense in a better spot where they're not having to guard against a field goal and a touchdown, where they know what the Broncos need to get to, and they can coach that way. That was big. I mean, obviously the one to Worthy, I mean, you want to hit those deep ones. We've missed a couple of those these last few weeks, but kind of that was more of an off script, kind of coming to was going one way and kind of saw him beat his guy and try to make the throw, but still throws I believe I can make.
I was going to ask you about the Worthy play. You guys have missed that the last couple of weeks. Is that related to his speed? Is that timing-wise? You guys have been unable to connect these last couple of weeks in those big home run swings, and that's the kind of player that he is. What needs to change? Maybe it's in your fundamentals. What needs to change to connect on those passes in the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I just got to make the throw. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, he's getting open. He's getting separation. And that's what we got him here for. And if I make the throws, he should have probably three or four more touchdowns. So it's about me just being better and making the throw.
What is that process like? Is it film? Because I remember earlier in the year when you and I talked, you kind of talked about your base and your fundamentals. Is it kind of getting back to some of those things, or is it something else?
I think it's just playing ball. I mean, like in that one, it's a difference whenever it's kind of within the structure of the play, and I see him and I try to make the throw and make the touchdown throw, which has happened this year, but that's happened good and bad. But whenever the play pops and he might not be necessarily the main read, and kind of like this one this last weekend, and I see him, I got to be able to set my feet up and make the throw and keep it in bounds and give him a chance. And I thought he did a great job stacking on the red line and giving me room to make the throw, and I threw it out of bounds.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a couple of minutes. Patrick, one thing I've learned from talking to you over the years, you always say, you know, it's the NFL, you don't need any extra motivation. This feels like the game that embodies that more than anything. You got the two best teams in the AFC. You went there last year in the postseason. You guys always play these tightly contested games. You know what you're heading into on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't think there's any extra motivation. I think you just know it's going to take your best in order to win this football game. You're playing against one of the best teams in the NFL, the team that you've played a lot of times and know every single time it seems like it comes down to the wire. And we're going to be in a hostile environment. So we understand that it's going to take our best football in order to get the win, and that should be enough motivation in itself.
You mentioned it last year, sort of embracing the villain. Where would you rank Buffalo in terms of just hostile environments? You know, that image of you running off the field and fans are loud, they're throwing things, and you're running off celebrating a win. Where would you kind of rank Buffalo in some of the toughest environments that you've played in?
Yeah, I mean, pretty simple. I mean, they don't like me a lot, and they don't like the Chiefs a lot, so I'm sure it'll be pretty hostile out there.
What is it like to be, I guess, perceived as the underdog in this one? You guys are the favorites. You guys are the two-time defending champion, but there's going to be a lot of people that pick against you this week. What's it like to be perceived as the underdog heading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, you don't pay attention to most of those things, especially during the regular season. I mean, it's week to week in this league, and it just kind of depends on if you played good the week before or not. And we feel like we didn't play our best football the week before, but at the same time, we have to find a way to play our best football this week if we want to get a win.
You guys always talk about your goals, you know, taking care of the division, making sure that you have the one seed. I don't have to tell you how important this game is in locking up that one seed conversation, and it goes a long way beating a team that is directly behind you in the standings. How important is it to you? How important is it to this team to make sure that the AFC Championship game is played again in Arrowhead?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I mean, obviously, it wasn't last year when we were able to get it done, but just to have that advantage of being at Arrowhead, being home, being able to rest your body for that week with the bye week, I mean, there's definitely advantages to it, and it's an important game as far as seeding and stuff like that goes. But it's a long season, so we've got to keep building and keep getting better and try to take care of business this week. But at the same time, we have to just focus on today, and that's all we can do.
I've got two final questions, and I'll get you out of here. Two questions I've never asked you before. You guys are going to Buffalo, home of the Buffalo Wings. When it comes to chicken wings, are you a drums guy or a flats guy?
I'm a flats guy for the most part, but I like them both. I'm not picky at all. Like, whatever I get, and I'm just going to devour them.
That's kind of where I am with chicken, too. People always say, it's like, bro, I just like chicken. Like, you eat the drums, I'll eat the flats, whichever one. As long as the chicken's good, I don't care.
That's 100%. I'm the same way. Like, I know people are super picky on which one they're getting. Whenever I get wings, I'm just grabbing what's there and I'm eating them.
All right, I'm going to give you my favorite three wing flavors, and I want to know what yours are. I'm going to go lemon pepper one. I like a good, like, Cajun rub, Louisiana rub, and I also like garlic parmesan. Whenever you're ordering wings, what are your three favorite wing flavors?
Yeah, first like a barbecue, honey barbecue. I always love that. I know it's kind of original, but I like that. I like the regular hot wings, and then I would probably say garlic parmesan for my third one. But I'm not, same thing, man. I'll eat a lot of different flavors of wings. That's just kind of the three go-tos I go to.
If you guys had a wing competition, like, in the locker room, like, every player's there, who can eat the most wings in, like, a 10-minute setting, like Joey Chestnut style, who wins the contest?
Trey Smith, no doubt.
Hands down. You didn't even hesitate on that one.
No, right when you started answering the question, I knew who I was answering.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for one of the biggest matchups in the regular season, Chiefs and Bills. Patrick, man, great talking to you, man. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Every Tuesday, we catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you missed any part of our conversation, catch it again coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. The 5 o'clock hour today is going to be commercial-free, so you don't need to turn that dial and go anywhere. Rob, you heard my top three. I would say lemon pepper one. I love a good Cajun rub and a garlic parmesan. Where are you at? What are your top three wing flavors, Rob? Give me your top three wing flavors.
See, I've heard you have this wing flavor take before about how you don't like buffalo, but I like the buffalo wing. So I'm going to have it in my top three.
I want to be clear here. I don't hate
you think
the
it's overrated.
Regular buffalo sauce. I just think that we have evolved and that there are better kinds of wings. But if that's the only wings that are available here are the buffalo wings, sure, I'll eat the buffalo wings and I'll be happy with it. But if we go to Buffalo Wild Wings or Wingstop, where you're going to give me 17 different flavors, no, buffalo is not one of the ones I will be ordering.
Buffalo's in the one of the ones I'll be ordering. But can I pick my type of buffalo sauce? The peanut sauce is my buffalo sauce of choice. I love a nice garlic parmesan. It's a nice change of pace. And then, like you mentioned, the Buffalo Wild Wings. I like a dry, like, desert heat or something where it's hot, but it's like a different heat because it's dry rub heat. Those are my top three. Regular buffalo, garlic parmesan, and then like a dry heat, like a desert heat over at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Text line 913-586-7965. Give us your top three wing flavors. You know mine. You also know Rob's. Give us your top three wing flavors. All right, I want to play this for you because we might need to do an emergency drive investigation. So MVS was interviewed, and you might be thinking, why did somebody interview Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Well, this week he had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. MVS had one of the better fantasy days this weekend in the National Football League. Yes, that is surprising to me as well, but MVS was out there cooking this weekend. So he went on the Kay Adams show and he was asked, hey, you've played with a lot of great quarterbacks. You've played with Aaron Rodgers. You played with Patrick Mahomes. You played with Josh Allen, kind of. Who's the best out of those three? Here was his answer.
I mean, with that guy, you always got a shot. I think he's the best to ever play this game at the quarterback position. If you got, you know, that guy on your team, you always got a shot to win. He's one of my favorite teammates that I've ever had, one of my closest friends that I've ever made in the NFL, him and Devontae. So just with those two guys alone, you always got a shot. And they'll figure it out. They'll turn it around. I know the competitive nature that those two guys have and how much they actually care about winning. And I think that they'll figure it out.
They're two games out of a playoff spot. You're saying he's the best ever.
Yeah, I think he's the best ever. And like I said, I played with some of the best to ever do it. And I think Pat is right behind him. I think Josh is equally as talented as all those guys.
All right, so. Love that.
Is this hate? Now, I understand that not everybody has to have the same opinion. Some people can think that Jordan's the best. Some people can think LeBron's the best. Some people, I get it. I understand. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time. That's an opinion. That's a real take. That's a thought that someone has, especially when You always made it to the AFC Championship game. You won multiple Super Bowls with an individual. Aaron's the best that ever done it. No one thinks this. I'm serious. I'm not even sure if Green Bay people think this. Like right now, we called into Green Bay's afternoon show and just asked, hey, all time, who's better, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers? They would also answer Patrick Mahomes. He's the best to ever do it. This feels like a little hateration to me. It feels like a little sodium. It feels like a little bit of hate. Maybe I'm off base here. 913-586-7965. I'm hearing some hate in his voice. I can hear it in his tone. He's the best to ever do it. Do what? What are you talking about? If you're saying he's the best quarterback to be a regular guest on Pat McAfee, sure. That's the only thing he's the best at. That's a wild opinion to have about Aaron Rodgers.
I like how Kay set it up, too. So you think he's the best ever? Two games out of a playoff spot?
that was nasty work from KF. Why did he say it like that?
Just a reminder, his team stinks, but you're still sticking with it, huh?
That is what he did.
She tried to throw him the lifeline by saying that, and he was like, nah, I play with some greats. She's like, okay. At the end of the year, love that. Great.
That is what
good talk.
Happened. That is what happened. Are you sure you the quarterback of the Jets, he's the best? This is the thing I don't understand about MVS is Aaron don't even like you like that. You want to know how I know? Is you were just available and Aaron didn't seem too concerned with going to get you. He would have went to go get Randall Cobb. He would have went to go get Alan Lazard. Aaron don't like you like that. That's not your boy. I mean, I guess it's also possible Pat doesn't like you like that. You were available and you went to go play with Derek Carr. So maybe neither one of them like you like that. But you ain't Aaron's boy like that. Trust me, Aaron wouldn't say those same things about you, Mr. Applebee's. I can't believe MVS. I had the red zone on one of the TVs, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching the Chiefs game, and it was on the same time, and I look up, I was like, yo, who? Somebody cooking for the Saints right now. I know that ain't who I think it is. That's MVS. Now you can catch deep balls. You couldn't do none of that last season with the Chiefs. Now you turned into Jeremy Maclin from 2011 all of a sudden. I never saw any of that in Kansas City. He had Derek Carr looking like Joe Montana out there on Sunday. I don't know what got into MVS. I really don't know what happened, but he was incredible on Sunday. I didn't see any of that. No, he did it one time. That one AFC championship game, he played well for the Chiefs. That's it. They gave him all that money to play well one time.
Nah, he played okay against the Jags in the divisional round. He had a good playoff run. Two of the three games, he was fine. They also targeted him on the most important game of the Ravens game last year, which is just banana land to me. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was still stunned. I was stunned that MVS absolutely stunned that was.
What's more stunning, his performance or the fact that Kay Adams reached out to the Saints PR staff and she said, you know who I want on my show? And they were like, oh, Alvin Kamara? No, I don't want Alvin Kamara. How about our new coach? He just was wanting to know. No thanks. You know, Cam Jordan's a big personality. Nope. I want Marquez Valdez-Scantling on FanDuel TV. Bring him to me.
Yeah, go get him. That's
the first time Saints PR has heard that request.
Yeah, no, nobody.
Or any PR staff.
Nobody has requested MVS, though. You're 100% sure there. This before we'll get to cover three here coming up in a bit. I do want to give KU their props. They had a great weekend, great win against North Carolina on the hardwood, great win at home against Iowa State. You said it, Rob, and I will give you this. You said that KU was going to play spoiler down the stretch. They spoiled things for Iowa State. There is another team that they could potentially play spoiler for. I guess two teams. They could play spoiler for BYU and also Colorado. We'll talk about their team here coming up in just a bit. It is kind of crazy to think this, and maybe this is just somebody who grew up in Kansas City, so I know. It is wild to me that the Chiefs, like right before our eyes, transformed into the New England Patriots. Just think about it. You know, I'm under 40. Rob, you're under 40. All we know is Patriots dominance. I kind of remember the Cowboys being great. I remember the Broncos runs in the late 90s and the Packers had their little bit of run, but we are at the age where you remember exactly where you were when you were watching the Tuck Rule. You remember the controversy about continuing to let Tom Brady be the starter and not going back to Drew Bledsoe? Like, we saw that thing brick by brick. And remember all the games, all the controversies, all of those things. It is wild to me that the Chiefs turned into that team. It is also wild to me that the Chiefs are now in the middle of what is going to be the defining rivalry for this generation. The same way that Patriots and Colts or Patriots and Broncos was the generation's defining games. Your 14-year-old son, when you ask him, hey, give me some great, he is going to say Chiefs and Bills. Maybe he'll say Chiefs and Bengals, but we got to see more games against Cincinnati, right? Like, there has to be more memories, more games. But when you think about the last 5 years, whether it is the iconic image of Diggs standing there and watching the confetti come down as the Chiefs go to another Super Bowl, whether it's the Kadarius Toney, whether it is Patrick Mahomes having his George Brett moment where he is just yelling at anybody that will listen, whether it is the 13 seconds, like, the team that Pat probably has the most of those iconic memories against, that team is probably the Buffalo Bills. And we'll see if he can add to that this weekend in what is, it is the most important game in the AFC. We'll see what happens in the NFC that could end up being Commanders and Eagles. We'll see who ends up being the one seed, probably will be the Detroit Lions. But this Sunday, it is the defining matchup. If the Chiefs win on Sunday, it is going to be very difficult for you to create a pathway in which Baltimore catches them or Buffalo catches them. And it really comes down to, do you think the Chiefs are going to have a better record than the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I think we all agree, yeah, they are. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Matt Verderama, Sports Illustrated. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk a little bit of college football as your Kansas Jayhawks had one of the more impressive wins of the weekend. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Time to check in on MIZ, K-State, and KU. Let's go Cover 3.
Ready, break!
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Matt Verderama of Sports Illustrated. We'll dive back into the NFL. Let's talk a little bit of college football. KU deserves some credit for how they have turned their season around. Now, this season is still disappointing. They're still not going to make a bowl game. But you know what? This team can still ruin Christmas for some other teams. Iowa State was overvalued. They've lost their last two games. Let's remove Iowa State from playoff conversations right now. There's still two teams ahead of KU that very much are still alive. They play BYU this weekend on the road. They also play Colorado at home. I would guess, this is just my hunch here, I don't think KU goes 0-2 in those two games. I think they get one more of those wins. This is the team that finally looks like the team that we thought they could at the very beginning of the season. They're cutting down on the turnovers. This team can run the football. This team is well coached. This is the team that you thought could be a dark horse in the Big 12 from the very beginning of the season. It took them a while, but I think as you've seen, as their quarterback has gotten healthier, as he's gotten more experience and knocked some of the rust off, KU has not been a bad team for the last 4 weeks or so.
As a Kansas fan, it is, everything you're saying is correct, but it is infuriating because you're starting to see it. Even in losses, they looked good against K-State. They just turned the ball over one too many times, and they did not give themselves a chance to win. But they were in a game against a ranked team on the road in a rivalry game. Carrington, how many times have we seen a KU team go in Manhattan and compete? It's rare. They were the better team on Saturday against Iowa State. They are looking like the team I talked about in August. The problem is when you don't look at that team until November, you don't look at that team until Halloween, you just give yourself no chance to do something special and even less chance to even make a bowl game. I agree with you. They have three games left. Baylor, who standings-wise is better than them, Colorado and BYU, who are both in the hunt. KU could easily be 2-1 in that stretch, but 2-1 in that stretch means 5-7, and you're looking back at the season with massive disappointment. It's both a gift and a curse. You see they're playing well, but you get frustrated. Oh my goodness, where was this in September and October?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, ever since the Houston game, they got off to a slow start. There's no denying that. You can't go back. They played, I mean, over this stretch, they have played the best teams in the Big 12. They had the ball late with the chance to beat K-State. They just beat Iowa State. They play BYU and Colorado. They are going to play both of those two teams tough, and just based on what we have seen them do for the past month, again, I think it's a possibility that KU wins at least one of those two games and really ruins things. Colorado right now, they control their own destiny. If Colorado wins the remainder of the season, they are going to the college football playoff. They will have the tiebreaker over any team or have a better record in the Big 12 than any team. And Colorado is going to the Big 12 championship with a chance to go to the college football playoff. If you look at Colorado's schedule down the stretch, they play Utah, they go on the road and they play KU, and they play Oklahoma State, a team that looks like they are ready for their season to be over. Oklahoma State, they are as equally disappointing as KU has been this season. I think you have to pick Colorado to win at home. It really comes down to that road game against KU. KU is playing like a team. Colorado is probably a 4.5-point favorite in that game, maybe a 5.5-point favorite. But given what we just saw KU do to Iowa State, you definitely give them more than a puncher's chance of being able to knock out Colorado.
I would say, I mean, I don't think it's a 50-50 proposition, but you probably go into that game feeling the same way you did against Iowa State. And I would imagine odds makers will feel the same way. Like, right now, I know a lot can change in a week. Right now, you think Colorado's, what, 3.5-4-point favorite at Arrowhead against KU? Kind of in that ballpark? That feels eerily similar to what we saw against Iowa State, and that will be the last game most KU fans ever get to see Devin Neal play football. Like, KU has a chance to be a real, real spoiler here. And if you're a K-State fan, I know they were just coming off a bye and an absolutely horrible loss to Houston. If you're an Emaugh fan right now, you got to put on your crimson and blue, because you need KU to beat either BYU or Colorado, and then you have a chance to get back to Arlington. You control your own destiny again. You ruined that by losing in front of dozens of fans, but you can get that back if the Jayhawks help you out.
Let's talk about Missouri here for a little bit, because they played this past weekend. I don't think that Missouri can get back into the college football playoff conversation. If your best win is going to be against Vanderbilt and you got blown out by the other two teams that are in contention, I don't think that it is realistic for you to be in that conversation. I know that on SEC Network, they just kept pushing that like crazy. Like, oh, Missouri's still in it, percentage chance. They could have two losses. Sure. They have to go on the road and beat South Carolina. And right now, I don't care what the records say, South Carolina is playing better and is a better team than Missouri. We also haven't seen Missouri compete against a team like South Carolina that has really played good football over the course of the last couple of weeks. They dominated A&M, a team that Missouri had all the trouble with, and they also went on the road and beat Vanderbilt pretty comfortably this past weekend. Missouri's a, what, 13-point underdog, maybe 11, maybe the line. I can't remember the last time what it was, but they are a double-digit underdog against South Carolina. Can they keep it close? I think their defense gives them a chance. Are they going to have enough offense? I give Missouri credit for two things, and I'm part of this too. Missouri fans have been real woe is me this season about their year, and I get it. You had playoff-level expectations. Missouri's going to win 8 or 9 games in a disappointing year. Mississippi State is terrible. Arkansas at home is also a game that you should win. If you were telling me the worst possible outcome is that Missouri goes 9-3 in a season with a chance to win double-digit games in a bowl game, maybe the season wasn't as bad as we think that it is. I hope that they unlock something with Drew Pine in the fourth quarter of that game, because I was sitting there watching the game on Saturday, and I was trying to figure out how that kid got a scholarship to go play football at Notre Dame. Like, I've seen Notre Dame play football, and I can only imagine how good you have to be at high school football for you to get a scholarship offer from Notre Dame and play at Notre Dame. That was not the quarterback that Missouri had for the first three quarters of the game. That kid looked like he had never played D3 level football, let alone high D1 football. But they started letting him throw the ball down the field, and they didn't act afraid of him making plays in the second half of that game, and he helped get them back into it. That is their only chance of going on the road and beat South Carolina. South Carolina, I think, has a little bit more consistent offensive talent than they've had. They're certainly, I would say, better equipped at quarterback, and you're going on the road to play a team that's playing with all the momentum. If Missouri can win that game, it's going to be some pretty interesting conversations. Again, I don't think it's enough for them to get back into the playoff conversation. I don't think Missouri should be in the playoff conversation. But there is still a 10-win season that is somewhere in there for the Missouri Tigers. If they can figure out a way to go on the road and pull off the upset against South Carolina, and their defense should give them a chance to do that. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to get back to the NFL. We're going to catch up with Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated and break down what happened on Sunday against the Broncos and also look ahead to Chiefs and Bills. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.